When you see a set of dominoes and you decide to flick the first one, you can't be surprised or disappointed or upset later on when the last one falls. You need enough foresight to recognize the inevitability of the last domino falling. Broadly speaking, there are two kinds of parents that I deal with as an imam. Happens all the time. Number one, those who, mashallah, tabarakallah, they practice their Islam. Their love and their passion for Islam grows deeper, like firm roots. As they read more, they learn more, and they apply their deen. It permeates their lives. They exemplify it every single day. And they are the ones who have a well-deserved hope that their children will embrace, learn, practice Islam as well. As Allah Ta'ala says, بَعْدَ أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَاتَّبَعَتْهُمْ ذُرِّيَّتُهُمْ بِإِيمَانٍ أَلْحَقْنَا بِهِمْ ذُرِّيَّتَهُمْ وَمَا أَلَتْنَاهُمْ مِنْ عَمَلِهِمْ مِنْ شَيْءٍ كُلُّ امْرِئٍ بِمَا كَسَبَ رَهِينٌ. As Allah Ta'ala says, and those who believed and whose descendants followed them in faith, as in their iman was strong, and so the kids followed them in faith, we will join them with their descendants, and we will not deprive them of anything of their deeds. Every person is a pledge for that which he has earned. On the flip side, there are a different group. Again, broadly speaking, the second group of parents are who? Those that have left behind the Muslim country that they came from. And when they left, they were overjoyed to have, quote unquote, escaped those Islamic values. They've immersed themselves in Western culture, and they treat Allah's guidance as a set of frivolous trivialities, inconsequential minutiae, just these little details that keep pestering me. When somebody mentions any aspect of fiqh in a conversation, they treat it like a little bug, a pesky fly that is occasionally buzzing in their ears and they just want to wave it off. In fact, maybe you've experienced this. You try to bring up a certain hadith or an ayah of Quran, you try to mention what fuqaha say about a particular mas'ala, a particular issue, and you literally see the person's hand wave it away. Oh, come on, oh, let's not talk about these Islam things. It's like they're trying to wave away a bug just in their face. When they were young, let's say, I don't know, 25 years ago, whatever the case may be, their parents tried to keep them within the boundaries of Islam. And what was their response? What was their response? It was, I'm free to do whatever I want. I don't have to live by your rules or by God's conventions. I'm doing things my way. They've spent their lives overstepping Allah's red lines. Yes, they're culturally Muslim. Yes, they will say, I'm Muslim. But if you talk about praying five times a day, oh, who cares? But Ramadan is coming up, so what? You want me to calculate my zakah? No thanks. My income might be haram? Whatever. You want me to put on the hijab, grow out the beard? No way. Oh, you're worried that this sandwich, this meat, it might not be halal, haram? Give it a rest. Dhabiha ahlul kitab. You think I'm going to study these things? Come on, man, leave it alone. They will spend a lifetime ignoring every red line. And then their children will grow up. And their kids will do something that offends them. Something that offends their personal sensibilities. And what is their response? Subhanallah, you can't even imagine. Their response is, you can't do that. That's haram. And then the kids are staring at them. And I'm staring at them. I'm sure all of you are staring at them and wondering, since when do you care about halal and haram? What are you talking about? That's not even your, you get away from those conversations. But now that it has personally offended their sensibilities, you can't do that, that's haram. The hypocrisy is so overpowering that it's literally staggering. Like you have to take a step back and say, I'm sorry, what did you just say? Did you seriously just talk about halal and haram? Now all of a sudden you care? I deal with these situations more often than I'd like, to be perfectly honest with you. I get text messages, phone calls, or I have meetings with parents who are in a state of panic, wanting me to undo all the damage that they have done over the years. After a lifetime of belittling Allah's deen, they're wondering if I can instill a specific boundary that they personally find important. It's a little bit frustrating, because from my perspective, it feels like they've taken this whole deen for the past 20 years and taken the whole thing and chucked it in the trash. And now it's all rotten and stinking, and 20 years later, what are they saying? Excuse me, Imam, can you just go fishing through the trash and pull out that one thing that I actually think is important? Do you think you could apply that and make sure it goes into my son's mind or my daughter's ear, or make sure they apply this? And I'm sitting there like, you have got to be kidding me. So, what is my response? My response is quite straightforward. I explain what I consider to be painfully obvious. Perhaps it's obvious because of my position, so I see these things over and over again. But to me, it is painfully obvious, and so some people just don't get it. I'll break it down for you. I explain that you can see the world in two main ways: with purpose or as chaos. That's the way you can see the world. You gotta pick. Figure out your lane. Make a grown-up decision and figure out which side you're on. No half-stepping, no dilly-dallying. You have to really figure out, is the world chaos, or is this world, does this world have an actual purpose? If the world has purpose, what does that mean? It means that Allah Ta'ala made us with rules. And if that, it means that we're headed towards Judgment Day. So we better take all of our deen seriously. Heaven and hell are real destinations, and we're headed towards one of them. That's a very serious situation. If, however, the world is chaos, rules are simply man-made, you can do whatever you want. We are just floating in this stream that we like to call American culture. And this stream is perpetually pushing us downstream. And we can't predict where this stream is headed. It's just carrying us. We just have to embrace the chaos and enjoy the ride. And if this culture takes us a little bit to the left or to the right, if it takes us off a cliff down into a waterfall, then we'll just have to enjoy it while it lasted. Just enjoy the ride and welcome the inevitable demise with open arms. Accept the whole thing. It's all chaos anyway. So who cares? These are your options. Make a choice. So, if 25 years ago, you were saying, Mom, Dad, who cares if we have a little bit of music at the wedding and some gender mixing and some dancing and the ladies got the tight dresses on and no hijabs? So what? We're not hurting anybody. If that was you 25 years ago, then today, 25 years later, you can expect your kids will say, Mom, Dad, who cares if we have a little bit of alcohol, maybe somebody smoking a little this or drinking a little bit of that? A lot of this stuff is legal anyhow. And plus, so what if it's a gay wedding? So what if there's some people there that identify as this or that or the other? We're just having fun. We're not hurting anybody. Then, perhaps one day, you'll be an elderly grandparent. You know, you always see those elderly grandparents sitting at the wedding just minding their own business. Maybe that's going to be you one day. Maybe that's going to be me one day. And your grandchild is going to be having a wedding, and you'll see people walking into the masjid dressed up as perhaps animals. Maybe somebody's dressed as a dog or something. And you say, what's going on? They're trans chihuahua, and their pronouns are rough, rough, and bark. You have to address them that way. That's the way you have to talk to them. You might be wondering, is this really holy matrimony under God, a religious ceremony of people under God becoming married? You might say to yourself at that point, is this disrespectful to the masjid? Isn't this too far? Where do we go from here? My honest response, sorry to be this harsh, maybe I need to work on it, but if I'm going to be honest, I wish I could be sympathetic. I really wish I could. But unfortunately, I look at this from a bird's eye view. So when you flicked that first domino, I can't act like I'm shocked when the last domino fell. Sorry. I'm just not that good of an actor. Oh, really? That's what happened? I'm not that good at acting. I wish I was. Sorry. So, to everybody who has been just floating, the cultural Muslims who say a few Arabic words once every Friday, Salaamu Alaikum, Mashallah, Inshallah, Kayfa Haluka, you know, I'll just throw that around just on Friday at Jumu'ah. Throw around a little bit of Arabic, right? Feels good. To all those who do that and then ignore Islam throughout the week, I'm asking you to simply open your eyes. Don't be so short-sighted. See from a bird's eye view. Pay close attention to what is happening. Actions today have consequences tomorrow. Realize that every action is confirming your choice. It's not arbitrary. It's not just who cares, I'm having a good time, I'm just doing whatever. No, every action you take is confirming your choice. Purpose or chaos. Either this means something or it doesn't. Either the whole of the show is headed towards something extremely serious or who cares. It's one of those options. You got to figure that out for yourself. Make a serious grown-up decision about your deen. Either I'm in or I'm out. This is what you want to say to yourself. Why? Because Allah Ta'ala says it beautifully. بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. Allah Ta'ala says, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أُدْخُلُوا فِي السِّلْمِ كَافَةً وَلَا تَتَّبِعُوا خُطُوَاتِ الشَّيْطَانِ إِنَّهُ لَكُمْ عَدُوٌ مُبِينٌ. O you who have believed. So if you are a person of iman and faith, you have to pay attention. Allah Ta'ala here is now giving us two options, showing us the dichotomy that I've been trying to demonstrate. What does Allah Ta'ala say? O you who have believed. Enter into Islam completely, as in not just one foot in, one foot out, when I feel like it, when I don't. No, either you decide your best to completely practice this deen, and by the way, nobody's perfect. I'm not saying I or anybody else is perfect, but you have the resolve to try to apply the entirety of your deen, whether you're doing a great job or a bad job, but you do not embrace the idea of dropping this and dropping that and who cares about this and who cares about that. No, all these things matter. I'm trying. And I want to do the best I can. I'm perpetually trying to become better. Either that is your objective. اُدْخُلُوا فِي السِّلْمِ كَافَةً. Or, what is the other option? وَلَا تَتَّبِعُوا خُطُوَاتِ الشَّيْطَانِ. The other option is what? خُطُوَاتِ الشَّيْطَانِ. The wording is perfect. Baby steps. It won't be all at once. It won't be that shaitan's going to jump out at you in the cartoons, you know, with the red horns and the pitchfork and the big scary long tongue, or I don't know whatever else they do in cartoons. That's so scary, it scares you straight. No, it's going to be sweet and comfortable and nice and soft and inviting. And it's just going to be just like that stream, warm and headed downhill. Because water always goes downhill. And you might take a left and you might take a right. And you have no idea where the stream is going. But eventually there's going to be a waterfall. And it's all going to come crashing down. If you want to embrace that, go ahead. But it will be a slow process. So figure out what side are you on. Either I'm fully embracing this deen, or I simply accept the fact that this stream is going to gently take me wherever it's going to take me, and I have no say in the matter. If you have the desire, insha'Allah ta'ala, to drop this cultural Islam, alhamdulillah, I have some good news for you that I'll be mentioning in the second khutbah. Wa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam sallim kathira. Bismillah wa alhamdulillah wa salatu wa salam ala rasulillah. So, if inshallah ta'ala there are amongst us people who say, you know what, it's true. My Islam has primarily been cultural. It's a title, it's a name, but at the end of the day, it's not really something I take seriously. It's not something that I actively am trying to improve and further in my life. It is not what grounds me as an individual. It is not at the core of my personality. If you feel that that is you, then like I said, make a serious decision, either in or out. And alhamdulillah, the good news that I have for you is that today is the first of Dhul Hijjah. The Prophet ﷺ told us about these first 10 days of Dhul Hijjah, specifically the 9th, which is Arafah, the 10th, which is Eid al-Adha, and then 11, 12, and 13, which are Ayyam al-Tashriq. We should know about these days. We should know why they're special. We should know that the Prophet ﷺ said what? مَا مِنْ أَيَّامٍ الْعَمَلُ الصَّالِحُ فِيهِنَّ أَحَبُّ إِلَى اللَّهِ مِنْ هَذِهِ الْأَيَّامِ الْعَشَرِ. There are no days in which righteousness or righteous deeds are more beloved to Allah than these 10 days. This should be the next 10 days from here going forward. For the next 10 days, this should be a boost, a time to push yourself, similar to Ramadan in the way that you try to step up your game. You want to step your life game up, as some people would say. You want to get serious about who you are. You want to prove, not to anybody else, but to yourself and to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, most importantly, that this deen is something you take seriously. It is not just some cultural aspect of your life, like just, oh, what color shirt I wear, or what shoes I have, oh, this is my Islam, it's just some frivolous aspect. No. It is fundamental to who you are. It is the core of your identity. If that is the case, then take these next 10 days seriously, and especially the 9th of Dhul Hijjah. So today's the 1st, and it's day after day after day until the 9th day, which is called Arafah. The Prophet said, مَا مِنْ يَوْمٍ أَكْثَرَ مِنْ أَنْ يُعْتِقَ اللَّهُ فِيهِ عَبْدًا مِنَ النَّارِ مِنْ يَوْمِ عَرَفَةٍ. There is no day when Allah sets free more servants from hell than the day of Arafah. This is a day that you should fast on if you're not doing Hajj, which people here are probably not, right, because you're here. But if you're going for Hajj, that's different. But if you are not going for Hajj, then you should fast that day, and you should know that you are making dua that day. In fact, the whole ummah will be making dua that day. That is a day that Allah Ta'ala is freeing people from the fire. And yes, one of the wives of the Prophet ﷺ said, كان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يصوم تسعة ذي الحجة. The Prophet ﷺ used to fast in the first 9 days of ذو الحجة. Furthermore, what should we do during those days? What type of actions? Since good deeds are so important that day, what type of good deeds? SubhanAllah, you want to read Quran. You want to memorize Quran. You want to make dua. You want to make adhkar. You want to show up to the masjid. You want to fast. You want to be charitable. You want to talk to people about Islam, introduce them to Islam. Whatever you want to do, you want to wake up in the middle of the night. You want to study your deen or listen to various lectures. You just want to be helpful and kind and give good nasiha. Say a kind word to family and friends. Give people a call. Apologize for what you did wrong. Mend relationships. Whatever it is, choose to do so in these 10 days. Make some serious plans. You could pull out your phone and start writing down, I'm going to make a list. At least I got to do this and this and this and this during these next 10 days. Be serious. Take your deen seriously. Because the Prophet says, مَا مِنْ أَيَّامٍ أَعْظَمَ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ وَلَا أَحَبَّ إِلَيْهِ مِنَ الْعَمَلِ فِيهِنَّ مِنْ هَذِهِ الْأَيَّامِ الْعَشَرِ فَأَكْثِرُوا فِيهِنَّ مِنَ التَّهْلِيلِ وَالتَّكْبِيرِ وَالتَّمْحِيدِ. This is the least you could do, the easiest thing that you could do. That the Prophet says, there are no days greater to Allah, nor are one's good deeds more beloved to him in any days more than these 10 days. So increase in tahleel. What does tahleel mean? Hallala yuhallilu tahleelan means to say la ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah. You repeat these beautiful words and truly allow these words to set into your heart that ultimately there is nothing that is greater, nothing that I worship, submit to, nothing that I have fear or love or reverence for beyond Allah. Allah Ta'ala is number one in my life. Make this a reality, tahleel. And then takbir, Allahu Akbar, Allah is greater than everything and anything. Allah Ta'ala is the greatest. Allah Subh'anaHu Wa Ta'ala is the greatest in my life and in my consideration and in my day. What amount of time I spend doing, I do for the sake of Allah Ta'ala. Always number one in my life. Allahu Akbar and Alhamdulillah, you're grateful for everything that you have. Alhamdulillah, tahmeed, Alhamdulillah, Alhamdulillah. You say it over and over again, being grateful for every little thing. And SubhanAllah, you know what's so amazing? The more you spend time listing the things that you're grateful for, the more things you realize. Oh, I never considered that. I never considered this. Oh yeah, that too. Oh, and that too. Oh, and that too. And then after a few minutes, you realize, SubhanAllah, I can't even enumerate. I can't even list. I can't even begin to fathom how many things I am blessed with that I just simply take for granted. And then the words Alhamdulillah and Alhamdulillah, Alhamdulillah become easier and easier. So say these words, La ilaha illallah, and Allahu Akbar, and Alhamdulillah in these days. Do the basics, especially to those brothers and sisters who have been treating their deen like it's something cultural. Just simply focus on the basics. What do I mean by that? I mean that Allah Ta'ala says in a hadith Qudsi, مَا تَقَرَّبَ إِلَيَّ عَبْدِي بِشَيْءٍ أَحَبَّ إِلَيَّ مِمَّا افْتَرَضْتُ عَلَيْهِ وَمَا يَزَالُ عَبْدِي يَتَقَرَّبُ إِلَيَّ بِالنَّوَافِلْ حَتَّى أُحِبَّهُ. That Allah Ta'ala says in a hadith Qudsi, the most beloved things which my slaves can do to come nearer to me is what? Is what I have made obligatory upon him. Just pray your 5 daily salawat. Just do your obligations. Make sure your money coming in is halal. Make sure you're spending it on halal. Do your obligations. Fulfill people's rights. Do the absolute basics, and this is how you become closer to and beloved to Allah Ta'ala. And then if you want to get even closer and you want to improve even more, then Allah Ta'ala says what? And my slave keeps on coming closer to me through the nawafil, through the extra deeds. Yes, you can pray extra. Yes, you can fast extra. Yes, you can give more than zakah, extra sadaqah. Yes, you can do more and more and more. Just keep getting closer to Allah Ta'ala, especially in these 10 days. And if you are the type of person that's saying to yourself, no, I can't because I'm too sinful, I want to remind you, dear brothers and dear sisters, that prayer is for the sinful. That's who it's for. Salah was revealed to us because we have so many mistakes, because we've done so much wrong. You are supposed to humble yourself, acknowledge your weaknesses. In fact, the Prophet says, إِنَّ الْعَبْدَ إِذَا قَامَ يُصَلِّي أُتِيَ بِذُنُوبِهِ فَوَضَعَتْ عَلَى رَأْسِهِ أَوْ عَاتِقِهِ فَكُلَّمَا رَكَعَ أَوْ سَجَدَ تَسَاقَتَتْ عَنْهُ. Indeed, when the servant stands to pray, every time you stand up, inshallah, in the next few minutes, when you stand up to do your salah, what is happening? Your sins are being placed on your head and on your shoulders. All of these sins are being gathered up. Imagine a bucket of all the evil that you've done. These big buckets are being, what? Filled up. Imagine buckets of liquid. What happens when you fall into ruku'? You're dumping it out. What happens when you fall into sujood? Just imagine these buckets dumped out. This is the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why? Because you sincerely are thinking, Ya Rab, I know it was wrong. I admit, I'm not going to justify. I'm not going to be arrogant. I'm going to fall down in prostration to you, Ya Rab, and I know you are Al-Ghafur Rahim. I know you are the most forgiving and the most merciful. This is what salah is for. So how can a person say, A'udhu Billah, I don't want to start getting serious about my salawat because I'm too sinful? Subhanallah, bil'aks, it's the exact opposite. What type of thinking is this? That's what it's for. It's exactly what it's for. So don't lose the opportunity and repent to Allah Ta'ala during these days. Focus on repentance and asking Allah to forgive you and to forgive me, all of us. I'm not above. I don't want anybody to think just because an imam says, talks big talk, that means he's somehow above everybody else. Maybe I'm the worst amongst you. That doesn't change the fact that the message is still good. So may Allah Ta'ala forgive all of us. And we should remember that Allah Ta'ala says what? وَاللَّهُ يُرِيدُ أَن يَتُوبَ عَلَيْكُمْ. Allah wants to accept your repentance. This is not something that, oh, I'm repenting, but Allah is begrudgingly, I don't know, I'm kind of too busy, I'm too tired, I'm not really interested, I'm sick of this guy, maybe next week. We should not think like this. Allah Ta'ala wants to forgive you, wants to accept your repentance. It's you that's holding the keys in your hand. You're the one that has to turn to Him, and Allah Ta'ala's mercy is there. So may Allah Ta'ala make us of those who take advantage of these blessed days. May Allah Ta'ala make us of those who are not cultural Muslims, but rather we take this deen seriously. May Allah Ta'ala make us of those who what udkhulu fi silmi kaffa, that we obey the command of Allah to enter into this deen wholeheartedly and completely. And when we fall, we get right back up. May Allah Ta'ala make us of people of tawbah. So yes, we make mistakes, but we keep on trying and we never quit on ourselves. We never quit on the ummah. We never quit seeking Allah Ta'ala's face and Allah Ta'ala's mercy. Ameen ya rabbal alameen. Allahumma hadina fi man hadayt, wa afina fi man afayt, wa tawallana fi man tawallayt, wa barik lana fi ma a'tayt, wa qina sharra ma qadayt, fa innaka taqdi wa la yuqda 'alayk, innahu la yadhillu man walayt, wa la ya'izzu man تباركت ربنا وتعاليت. ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار. وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم سلم كثيرا.